Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Lord, I just ask that you help us to be free in our worship today, that we're able to give you the honor and the gratitude you deserve. Help us to be free, Lord. Help us to love one another like we should. And Lord, I just ask that today, the word that we hear, we have it something that's imparted into our spirit, something that we use in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Morning, everybody. I heard something last week and it just made me think. So I wanted to just share it with you guys. So if you have a cup and it's filled with coffee and someone bumps into it, what spills out? Coffee, correct. And so if you have a cup of tea filled and someone bumps into you, what spills out? Correct. So if someone bumps into you, what spills out? You don't have to answer, just, you know, think or whatever on it. It just made me think a lot. So if someone bumps into you, what spills out?
Amen. You know, if any of you all know E.V. Hill, you ever heard that name? He's a black preacher that goes around. That song came out of a sermon that he gave back in the days when, I can't remember now the name of the men's group that toured around the country. Promise Keepers. That was it. Yep. And he was speaking to them. And those are the two words that he kept. Once he had their attention, so to speak, once they were hearing him talk about, go home and be fathers to your children. Go home and be a husband to your wife. Go do these things that God has planned for you. Wonderful. And then after that got into their heads, he kept saying these two words. And he said them over and over and over. And he didn't quit. He one of the preachers with a rag in his back pocket, you know, and he'd wipe his head. He'd walk across the stage and say it again. Go on. Go on in me. Go on in him. Go on and get strong. Go on and be the pastor or the father or the husband or the wife. No, don't be the wife. Go home and be a husband to your wife, right? Good words. And it finally got in, you know. I mean, even I was just listening to him. I started getting excited, and I'm not married. But I have a really big family. A really big family. Amen.
Father God, you are worthy. Father God, we come before you this day to just bring our hearts to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that you honor us with your presence. I still feel that there might be someone with some words for today. Before I get started, if there's anyone that wants to come and speak here this morning, please do so. I think we need to hear from the body a little bit more. So you want to go ahead?
The past two evenings, I've been receiving the same message from the Lord. So I said, okay, then it's got to be for the body of Christ here. So he's been talking about, in Matthew, I'll just go ahead and open it up here. And just, it's about the bridesmaids and how the Lord is returning. He is our bridegroom, are we not? I mean, is he not? And are we not his bride? So it's what God's been speaking to me lately is about being prepared for the bridegroom's return, because we are his brides. And we need to be with him in focus in our lives. He being the one, the first and only in our lives, just being focused on him. and allowing him to minister to us and getting into the word and getting into time with him, just spending that time with him, because his return is soon. And so what I received two times has to do with Matthew 25. And that's where Jesus tells the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. And he says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish one took their lamps, but did not take an oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. So what Jesus is saying here is he's telling us about those that are not asleep. We don't want to be asleep at this time, because this is such, as it is, he's returning soon. And we've been hearing that, but he really is. This is a time that we need to make sure that our lamps are oiled. And how do we do that? Basically, we spend time in the Word and we spend time with him. And he leads us and guides us. And the Holy Spirit is the oil that makes the lamp burn. And so we want to be like the bridesmaids that have fully fueled Holy Spirit lamps. Because we are the temples of God. We are his temples, and he fills us up with his Spirit as we take time to read his word, worship him, make him first. That oil gets poured into us via the Holy Spirit. And right now, we want to be a light unto the world. The Lord says we are the salt of the earth, and we are to be the light. So it's that lamp that's within us that needs to shine into the darkness of the world, because the word says that the word is like a two-edged sword that cuts into the darkness of the world. And how are we going to cut into that darkness into others' lives if not being focused on him, being totally in the word of God and worshiping him and being filled with the Holy Spirit? And we got to burn for God right now. We can't be lukewarm. The word says that he'll spit us out if we're lukewarm. We can't be lukewarm, especially at this time when people are filled with sadness, depression, illnesses, and they don't know Jesus like we do. We need to be the light of the world and have our oils with our lamps filled. And so I really feel that that's what God wants us to do, because he does speak in 1 Corinthians 6, and I did have that marked, but now I'm looking for it. But he basically talks about in that scripture that we are his temples, and we are to keep it holy. And how do we keep it holy if not being in his word and worshiping him and making him us first? So that's really the message that I have this morning, that he is returning for a bride that is spotless. And we're all human. We all sin, right? But it's because he is merciful, because he loves us, that we can go to him and that we can become that spotless bride. So that's basically the message that I have this morning for you. Let's be, Father God, I want to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you, Lord, and I just thank you for this church, Father, body of Christ, for our pastors, Father God. And I just thank you, Father, for your word that does not return void to you, Father God, for you are calling for a spotless bride. So I'm asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to help us be that spotless bride. Help us stay focused on you, to hear your word, to see, Father, what you have for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you, but to prosper you and to give you a future." Father, we each have, Father, something that burns within your heart for our lives. So right now, I just pray, Father, that we will seek you and find you in your word, that we worship you and love you and have an ear to hear what you have to say for each and every one of us, that we will walk in the destiny that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, if no one else has a word, good morning, church.
Good morning.
I wanted to specifically speak on that. What is a good morning to you? You know, we always seem to kind of, you know, that's our greeting. You know, we're saying good morning as, you know, a good way to start your day, right? But what would a good morning be to you? Maybe you wake up in the morning. Maybe you look forward to your cup of coffee. Maybe you spend time with God. Before you come here, I hope you look forward to, I'm using just maybe today, but every day can be different. You made your plans to come to church. Maybe after church, you decided to go with maybe a friend to have lunch. Whatever we've gone through and kind of had our minds set on for today, starts with our morning, right? We kind of have our day all planned up for us. You know, maybe you put on this nice outfit, and maybe you have a nice, ladies, maybe a nice pair of white pants, and you're having that great cup of coffee in the morning, and all of a sudden you're ready to come to church and you just spilled it on your pants. Now that morning doesn't seem as good as it was a few minutes ago, right? And so the simplest little thing can change the way you see your day, right? Something silly. Spill the cup of coffee. You started to pull out of your driveway and you hit your garbage can or whatever it is. Things happen to us, you know, that kind of deters our day. And so I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning looking forward to a bad day, right? To not a good morning. I think we all put our focus on, you know, that we are going to have a good day. And yet there's times that the simplest thing can get us off track. And it's like our whole attitude changes for the rest of the day. Maybe a phone call that you didn't expect, whatever that is. And so that's just to kind of look at one day, one morning. But there's other things that maybe we'll look at that have happened in our past that we kind of weren't expecting. That's what my sermon is today. It's called Expectations. And all the things that we planned, all the things that we maybe have in store in our minds, maybe they don't work out. So the question is, how do we handle that? How do we go about doing those things that that sometimes don't fit with our day? So I've heard, I'm sure you've heard that that if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans, right? You've heard that one. And, you know, it does seem that's really kind of a funny little comment. But I think when we really look at the way our God is, I do believe that he does want us to come with our plans. He wants to hear our dreams. He wants to hear our anything that's going on in our lives. And sometimes those things, you know, as outrageous as they seem, sometimes our hopes and our dreams seems like they're way out there. But he wants to hear that. He wants to see the desires of our hearts. And there may be times when our wants differ from his perfect plan. And so I remember for a lot of you senior people like me, you remember a show that used to be on probably in the 60s. It was called Father Knows Best. See, I knew I'd get a response for that one, you know. All the youth are gone today, so they don't know about that. But it's really, you know, that show was about dad always knowing the right way to go and, you know, whatever it took to get the kids into that right place, you know. And so, you know, it's kind of where I think that we should look at our Father. He knows best. And sometimes we think, we might know best. So when our expectations are not being met, it's those times that we may begin to question God, sometimes maybe argue with him, and maybe even become angry with God. Has anybody ever kind of gotten to that point that you're just, yeah, you become angry with him. And I think that, you know, it's one of the things that we all go through because we just don't understand. We don't understand who he is. And so I want to put on there the first one, scripture is Proverbs 3:5. And here's a good one for you. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And so, as you can tell here, this is also when we put on the bulletin, that's the power verse. And the power verse, usually what we try to put is kind of like the gist of what the message is about. Okay, something that kind of covers the whole thing. That's usually, if you don't know why we put a power verse there, that's what it is. And what I wanted to bring up in this particular thing there is that you notice that the word trust is there first, okay? And then the last thing is understanding, okay? Our understanding is secondary compared to the trust that we have to place in him. And sometimes that's hard for us to do, right? Because we don't get it. So, if you really, really want to make God laugh, like I said at first, try to tell him how much smarter you are than him. That'll make him laugh, right? Or at least I hope he laughs and not do something else, but he wouldn't. So, God has already seen what awaits us. He already knows what all our tomorrows are bringing us. He's already seen it. And for us, we're barely walking these little baby steps and we think we have it all figured out. And sometimes, you know, maybe God might even let you take that step and all of a sudden you realize, I should not have done that. I should not have taken that step. But yet, it says that his word says that all things work together for those who love him, right? So even though sometimes what's going on around us may not be looking like it's so great, but to know that that when we're in the middle of that storm, sometimes when the things that are hitting us are so cloudy and so out of the way that we kind of don't really see what's going on. We may not see that all good things work for our good. We don't see what it looks like, but God has, right? He's going to walk you through this thing. He's going to take you if you would just allow him to do so, if you would just trust him to take you rather than to trust what the way you're trying to see your day, your life, trying to see how maybe somebody else that you know what they've gone through and you go, well, they went through that, so I must have to go through that too. And that's not so. You know, what your friends and your relatives or whatever go through in life and the things that they that they, you know, with all the love they have to be telling you that, well, once you get through this, you'll be okay or whatever. It's, you're not them. You are you, created specifically the way God wanted to create you. And so we can't go by what others have gone through. We go by what we're going through. And there may be things in our lives that God wants to show us that he didn't have to do for someone else. So when you're going through these storms, when you're going through these things that you don't quite have that understanding, we go right back to that first thing. We have to trust that he does. He does have our day planned for us, our tomorrow's planned for us. So even if we don't, if we don't see it, just to know that that he is there. So today we celebrate Palm Sunday. And it's 1 week before the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And though the coming of the Messiah had been prophesied, it seems that Jesus didn't quite meet all the expectations that the people had. He just wasn't fitting what the prophecy said about the Messiah. And so today's message is about wanting things the way we expect them to be, or letting God have them be his way when we may not have an understanding. So first I want to go through Mark 11. And this is about Jesus coming into Jerusalem as a king. And I'm going to go ahead and read through starting with verse 1, and I'm going to go through verse 11. And it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt. And in this case, a colt is a donkey. Okay, sometimes we think of the word colt, little horses or whatever. But it was a donkey. They called them a colt at that time. You will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and it will be sent back here, and he will be sent back shortly. Kind of strange little deal there, right? It's kind of like if it was happening now, and it was saying, go down to Broadway and Fifth, and there's a nice Porsche parked there, and just go and try to see if you can start it up. And if anybody asks you what you're doing, then tell them I sent you. Sounds like they're kind of telling him, go steal that little colt, right? But of course, we know better than that. They went and they found that colt outside the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing? See? Untying the colt. They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. And when they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So, some of those who praised Jesus as a conquering king would be calling for his crucifixion or doing nothing to stop it. What a difference, right? 1 week can make. 1 week they're praising him and glorifying who he is. The next week they're saying, crucify him. And when Jesus didn't fulfill their expectations, it became easy to turn against him. And now as we look back at a story such as that, we probably would ask ourselves, well, you know, how could they not see it? How could they not see what was going on right in front of their eyes? And it's easy to be able to read our Bible and look at all those people that supposedly were making all these mistakes. And then you wonder, even today, are we missing something that's happening in our midst? You know, it doesn't seem like that we should be. We have this book of instruction. We have everything that we need to see all that God's doing. And yet, because whatever it is that we're looking at, maybe we're not perceiving it the way that God would want us to perceive it. There are things that are happening around us, and because they don't look like the way our minds intended them to be, that we don't credit it to God. It doesn't fit with what I thought should, the way it should fit. And so that we would open our eyes. We would open our eyes to see things the way that he does. So what I'm doing is I'm using like different scenarios as far as the people, some of the people's expectations and how they dealt with those things that God dealt with him. And so the next one is that I want to go to is Acts, and starting with Acts 9, starting with verse 1. And this is, you're pretty much all familiar with the conversion of Saul. And, you know, this was Saul, and eventually he changed his name to Paul. After all that he did with everybody, I think I'd want a name change too. And but he became a different person. And so I'm gonna read starting with verse 1. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And I wanted to bring this particular part out because Saul had never met Jesus until this time. And yet he says, "Why do you persecute me?" Okay? And something we need to understand is when we are being persecuted in some way by the enemy, you and me, Jesus takes that to heart. When we get persecuted, he's being persecuted. When we're getting hurt, he's the one that sees our pain. And so to be able to see this, to hear this, that Jesus is saying, "Why do you persecute me?" Saul was against everything that Jesus was about. And by doing that, like I said, he hurt someone like Stephen. And I'm sure, you know, there's countless other Christians that he did ill against. And then here's Saul's reply. "Who are you, Lord?" Now all of a sudden, he's calling him Lord. This is the guy he's been persecuting, right? But maybe once you get knocked off your high horse, now you know who your Lord is, right? And so it says, "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Here's this powerful man, now helpless. Doesn't feel so tough anymore, does he? In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. And the Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying in a vision. He has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." And here's Ananias' reply. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." Ananias didn't sound too eager to want to go talk to this guy, right? But the Lord said to Ananias, and notice on this particular one here, on the word "go," it's got an exclamation point. The first "go" didn't have the exclamation point. I think God is saying, "Go, go this man is my chosen instrument." Who would have thunk, huh? That he was a chosen instrument. "Is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." So you think about, you know, with what Ananias is kind of facing right here. He knows he's heard from God. He's supposed to go out and minister to someone that isn't really, as far as he knows, he's not really a Jesus lover. He's out to hurt people like him. And he's not really all for it. But God's given him a command. He's told him to go. But do you sometimes feel that way yourselves? You know, maybe facing someone that you know is reluctant to hear the message. Someone that maybe you know is going to give you some bad feedback when you start talking about Jesus, and not wanting to do this. But as we come to the end of the story, you'll see that he's still going out there and the good thing that came out of it. But there's things that we face sometimes that we don't want to do. We don't want to go out and minister to certain people or maybe even a group of people because we're not quite sure of their response. But when God gives us a command, when God speaks to our hearts and tells us, "Go," I hope you listen. I hope you go. Because good things will come from that. So where was I? Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Quite a difference, right? Well, I don't believe that anyone, especially Saul, saw this conversion coming. Saul was a persecutor of Christians. He approved the stoning of Stephen. Here was a man with the finest religious training. and a fierce intensity for those beliefs. Saul had no intentions of changing who he was. He would keep doing what he was doing. Doesn't that sound like a lot of us? We're going about our lives doing what we feel comfortable with, and we're okay with that. You know, in this case here, you know, when you really think about who Saul was, as far as he was concerned, he was doing everything right. That's why he had this fierce passion for what he did. You know, it wasn't something that he thought, well, I'm going to do it just because that's the thing to do. He believed in what he was doing. And sometimes for us, we get to a point that we're okay here. This is good. And we're not ever giving God a chance to show us a little bit more, taking us a little bit farther. There's always more. God's always got more for us. But sometimes we get comfortable in our place and we feel this is what we're doing because as far as we're concerned, we're doing the right thing. God had his plan for Saul. He would use all that Saul was and set it in the right direction. Saul, now Paul, is a good example of God using our past and our present so we can serve him with our future. He will sift those things that don't belong and strengthen what can be used for his glory. So, are we holding back? Are we holding back anything in us that God could use? And we may never find out. We may never know all that he can do with us until we allow him to have all that we are. When we submit to him and give him all that we have. Verse 19 says, as what I was reading, it says that something like scales fell from his eyes. Paul's eyes were literally open to the truth. It seems that's a physical thing that happened to his eyes, but it wasn't just the scales that appeared to be there. He could see. He could see the real Jesus. So that's a good point to make for all of us, that maybe the next time that we look in the mirror, let's see if there's not a touch of scales there somewhere, that we can see what God sees. The next thing I want to talk about is not a very fun subject, but all God was telling me that I needed to bring this up today. And that has to do with loss. Most times when we think about loss, we think about someone who has gone to heaven. But it can also be the end of a marriage, the end of a friendship, or the end of a dream. The loss of good health, maybe. Something that we never expected, right? Never think about, as I said earlier, waking up in the morning and thinking, well, maybe today I'll get this whatever nasty thing is out there. We don't ever want to go there with our mind thoughts. We should never go there with our mind thoughts. But when these things happen, our hearts are not prepared for the time such as that. Our hearts are not ready. We want our dreams. We want our hopes. We want our plans and those we love to last forever. I don't ever want to think about losing those I love. So what do we do when it doesn't happen that way? So I want to go to Matthew 14. Okay. And this has to do with Jesus, and of course he's the greatest example we could ever go to see how he does things. And the disciples had just informed Jesus about the death of John the Baptist, and so I'm going to start with verse 13. It says, when Jesus heard what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So the first thing it tells us here is that Jesus withdrew. He withdrew privately to a solitary place. And I think we can all understand why this is. You wonder, what was it that he wanted? Why did he want to be alone, right? Hopefully, and not hopefully, but I'm sure that it was, he just wanted to be with his daddy. He had just lost a buddy. He had just lost someone that was dear to his life. And so he just wanted to be with his dad. And you think about it, we always seem to think of Jesus as the God figure. And we try to sometimes not take into context the man figure. Still had emotions. He still had tears. Whatever it is that comes with being a man. And so who knows what that place of solitude gave to him. And so solitude it is something that we can relate to when things like that happen. Sometimes we need time and we need space to deal with our grief and our pain. And how much we need is different for each of us. In this scripture, for Jesus, it wasn't long at all. It says that he had compassion for those that had followed him. So that compassion drew him back to his ministry. Sometimes those things that are happening in our lives, sometimes we're not given enough time, or we're not able to just deal with our hearts, whatever it may be. But I think God wants us to come back. I don't think He doesn't want us to stay where we are for too long. Let's go to 1 Peter 5:8. And what this scripture says be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. I read a little more. But what I wanted to present in this is that verse 8 says that he comes around like a lion. He wants to make you believe that he's fierce and bad and overpowering. So understand that and look at that word, it's like a lion. The only real lion is the Lion of Judah. But lions attack young or straggling victims, some that have been separated from the flock. So rather than to totally cut yourself off from everyone, find someone that you know who loves you, that you trust, and that will support you. So what do? The word says that you keep your eyes on Christ, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. You don't have to put up with it. You don't have to put up. He wants you to come back to those that love you. He wants you to deal with the things that are going in your heart, because he's there for you and there are people that will be there for you. But come back to your flock. Don't walk alone. Have you ever asked God why? Why, God? That's a big a little word with a big lot of big answers, right? And you've come before God, done all that you know to do, and still no answer. Most of us are familiar with the story of Job. A man of faith, a wealthy land and livestock owner, his life filled with prestige, possessions, and people. But he would now experience not only loss, but physical pain. He did not understand the why. And God would show him that when all is gone, he, God, is enough. So I'm just going to read a couple of areas in the book of Job. I'm going to read Job starting with verse 1 through 12. And this is just a small portion. If you ever want to know more about Job, you're going to have to go read it yourself, because there's a lot more to it than what I'm sharing. and it's not a fun story to begin with, I should say. But anyway, 38, 1 through 12. And of course, he's been going through all these different losses and pains and whatever. And it says, this is a time when the Lord is speaking to Job. And it says, then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. And that's what I was saying, the storms that we have. Even all this time that Job's going through his stuff, he says he spoke to him out of the storm. He was there with him through all this time. He's there with you, whatever storms you're going through. So God, because there's a storm, he's not going to leave you in there without walking with you. So it says, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. How'd you like God to tell you that? Okay. And then he goes on. He says, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstones? Well, the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and wrapped them in its thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, this far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place? And of course, it goes on and on and on, right? God continues on to show Job his majesty. If Job couldn't understand all that God was showing him here, how could he understand God's mind? How could he understand God's character? And as I said earlier, God is the unquestionable standard. He is far above anything we could imagine. He is far above those things that we could understand. And about the time that we're getting it, we find that there's something a little more that we just don't get. And this is Job's response. And this is 42, starting with verse 1 through 5. And finally, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Quite a difference, right? Knowing who God is, knowing about him, I should say, and finally see him for who he is. And let's pray to God that we never get to these places to talk about stories like that, that we see him. We see the love that he has for us. And sometimes some of the stuff that we go through is not pleasant. But when Job finally gets to this point, that was his biggest issue. He had to go through the why. He had to repent of asking why. And so sometimes I think we just need to come to a place that we say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I know you're there. And I know you'll get me through this. So Job needed an area of growth. And that was where this why comes in, right? The answered why. And so do we use what we can't understand and as an excuse for our own lack of trust? Just because we don't understand it, that means we can't go there. We can't trust him fully with what's going on in our lives. And since God gave man domain over the earth, We should understand that when we give the enemy an entry point, we suffer consequences for our decisions and our actions. Sometimes we don't even know how we got to where we are. But one thing that we do know for sure is that God is with us, even if we can't find him, even if we don't see him, that he is with us. If we believe that our God is good, then we must believe that he is good all the time. Not only when things are going good for us, going according to our expectations, will we trust God in spite of unanswered questions. Today we have been blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit and all that he brings with him. We have been blessed with a mind of Christ. In our storms, we can receive a peace that surpasses our understanding. Amen. Sometimes we don't know why we have such a peace, but it's there. It's those times that we know that God's been with us. And we know that God never leaves us. Our part is to simply remain faithful and trust. That's all we have to do. Just be faithful to him. Continue to trust in who he is and not in your own understanding. He's too much, but we're getting closer every day. Spend time with him. As Maria Elena said, Pastor Henry's been preaching about, it's so important to get to know who God is, not just to know about him. Amen. Spend time with him. Amen. Open up this book that he gave us, that he could speak to us. Listen to other people that are in that, again, that you trust and that love you. Listen to some of the things that they're learning, that they're wanting to share with you. And just be there. And God, you watch God work in your lives. Please stand with me. And I'm going to speak a blessing over you, one that you're all familiar with, but I love it. I love this blessing. Just receive it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Now go and be a blessing to somebody in your day. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.